Thursday, it's 2:34 a.m. Oh, no, it's 2:35. Thursday. I almost said November. I don't know why. April 7th, 2022. And yes, I'm awake. And yes, I'm podcasting. Yes, I'm smoking weed. Yes, I just made myself another cup of tea. Fuck, I just realized this is the third cup I've made with the same tea bag. That's kind of gross. I should probably get another tea bag. But now I'm worried that I don't have enough of my tea left. Shit, this was stupid of me. All right, well, that just occurred to me. I'm gonna have to get on that. In the meantime, yeah, I'm sure you can tell from my voice, I'm totally out of it. I'm still like half asleep or a quarter asleep. I'm gonna smoke this bowl and I'm gonna go watch something, which I'm sure you'll hear about later today. I'm also listening to a podcast, How Long Gone, with Chris Black and Jason Stewart. Lena Dunham is the guest. And this episode is from December 20th of last year. And yeah, she's funny. Got me laughing. It's an interesting episode. Brady Stenellis was also a guest, I believe last month, actually. So I'll be listening to that. I've kind of been putting it off because, I don't know, I always put off listening to Brady Stenellis because I just kind of assume that he'll piss me off at some point. I just figured that that will happen. So I'll let you know what happens with the podcast. It's different with his books. I mean, I'll pretty much read anything, but if I have to listen to some asshole talking, like, you better have something interesting to say, which Brady Snells does. But he's also an asshole, so there's both sides of it. Okay, so that's that. So what did I watch last night? It was not called Bad Mutants. It was from the Vinegar Syndrome Collection, Volume 3, available on Arrow streaming. And I gave that a watch. Oh, no, it wasn't called Bad Mutants. Like, I thought it was called Mutant War. And I was watching it, and then all of a sudden I was like, that's the same fucking thing from the other movie. It was the same effect. This thing popped out, and it was on. Oh. Sorry, my cat's being frisky. This thing came out, and it was like this kind of spider creature, and it looked like one of the motherfuckers from the other movie I watched, The Battle for the Lost Planet. That's what it was, yeah. So I'm watching the movie, I was like, it looks like the same goddamn thing from the other fucking movie. So that was kind of weird. And then I was like, is it the same director? And I'm almost, I'm kind of like tempted to look right now. Fuck it. I'm just in that kind of mood. Bear with me while I search on IMDb. Battle for the Lost. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Ooh. Yeah, this is it. Okay, it's straight to video. I didn't realize that. Not that that's a problem. Matt Mittler, Brett Piper. Okay. Wrote and directed. Now did. Ooh. I see a crab monster. Arachnia. They bite. I don't know if this is the same dude. I thought it was like the same writer director. Maybe it was just like the same model that they just like reused. I don't know. Mysterious Planet, 1982, Battle for Mutant War. God damn it, I fucking knew it. It was his next movie. And then the movie after that, A Nymphoid Barbarian in Dinosaur Hell. Holy fuck. I need to see that movie. That might be one of the greatest titles I've ever heard. All right, so I'm here. I'm back. It's 10:23 a.m., Thursday, April 7th, 2022. I'm on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Where are you? Thank you for listening. My name is Max Cherry, and this is Video Nom Noms. So, today was, or not today, yesterday was kind of an unusual day. It was pretty much raining all day, pouring rain. I don't even think I went outside yesterday, which is unusual for me. It's a strange feeling. So I'm outside today. I'm back in my car studio. I didn't use my car studio at all yesterday. Yeah.
just kind of an oddball day. So I was supposed to go into Boston yesterday, and then I was going to go into Boston today, but I have a meeting with my therapist in approximately 1.5 hour, so that will not be happening today. I might be going in to the city tomorrow. I'll make some deliveries, make some money, hopefully. Maybe look at some jobs and apartments. I might even stay over with some family friends. I'm not sure what the plan is yet. But for now, my plan is to just go in for the day. So until then, I'm here talking to you fine people. I'll be doing some writing, hopefully. I already did some writing, but I might be doing some more. And podcasting, yeah, listening to music. I've been listening to one of my favorite albums, not just of the 90s, but of all time, which is Dummy by Portishead. Apparently, they regrouped for a Ukraine benefit live stream of some sort, which I was hoping was free, but then it turns out you need tickets, so I won't be watching that because I can't pay for anything right now. I need to just be saving money. Okay, so I'm gonna take certainly not my first hit of the day. Actually, early this morning I was smoking, and more on that in a moment. Chin chin. Ooh, that's a nice tasty hit. I'm hoping I won't have to buy weed tomorrow. I don't think I'll have to. No, I have plenty. So I'm just not going to smoke all day. Maybe in the morning before I go in. But then I just won't smoke all day. I'll just make deliveries all day. Hopefully, that's the plan. And then, problem is what to do in between deliveries. I guess I just have to sit around and wait. And then, yeah, tomorrow night I'll come back, smoke, go to sleep, and then I guess not Friday, Saturday I'll go pick up another eighth, hopefully Valley Kush cake. That's the plan. I feel that I need to make more money before I go and buy more weed. So that's what I'm gonna do. That's what I'm planning on doing. Okay, what was I talk what am I here to talk about today? I'm really stoned now. Well, oh yeah, early this morning. So I woke up early. It was one of those like really early, like 2 in the morning, maybe 3 in the morning. I read for a little while, played with the cat for a bit, and then I took a hit, and I just said, "Wow, I feel great." It's that first hit where it's like I could just chill on this high for a while. I could just enjoy this high and not even smoke anymore. Just take that one hit and just be good. Which I do sometimes, but I tend to want to get into it more. So I don't know. I was up and I was just sometimes I'm just in the mood to smoke weed. Like sometimes I'm really not in the mood and I just don't smoke. But sounds stupid the way I'm talking about it. But sometimes I'm just really in the mood for it and I just really get in the mood for it. So I was up and I was smoking and I probably smoked a little too much, but I kept it to a minimum. It wasn't crazy. And yeah, I'm getting into the day today, not smoking much. I'm really conserving, but I had weed. I was up early. It's really fun to smoke in the middle of the night for me. So I was doing that. I was listening to this podcast with Lena Dunham. I actually recorded some of the podcast during that moment, which yeah, you just heard in the first part of this podcast. So this episode. So yeah, that was me early in the morning, and then I watched two movies. I watched Eaten Alive, which is the Tobe Hooper movie, which I had seen previously, which I will discuss in a moment. And then I was starving for some reason, so I got some food and I watched Eaten Alive was just too kind of like gross and like, I don't know, sleazy or something, scummy. I don't know. So I just like I had to switch it up and watch something else while I was eating. So I put on John Carpenter's Vampires, which is actually even gorier and possibly even sleazier and scummier, and grosser. So I don't know why I ended up putting that on, but actually I do know why, because I logged on to Hulu because I wanted to watch the second episode of season 3 of Atlanta, and I saw John Carpenter's Vampires just sitting there, just waiting to be watched. And I said, you know what? I'm putting it on. I've never seen the whole movie. I'm like Eaten Alive. I've never seen John Carpenter's Vampires in its entirety. I always end up turning it off. I have issues with that movie. I do think it's kind of stupid in some ways, but then I also think it's kind of amazing in some ways. I guess sort of like Ghosts of Mars, although I think it's a better movie than Ghosts of Mars, but Ghosts of Mars is a cooler concept to me. In a way. I mean, it's, you know, John Carpenter doing science fiction, which is always good, but Vampires is John Carpenter doing horror, which is always good. So, you know, and I love vampires, I love vampire movies, and actually they discussed Dark Shadows in the Richard Linklater movie, Apollo 10 and a Half. They discussed it, and they discussed other shows on that were on at the time, and they even at one point just went through all the shows that were on the air at this one moment in time in the late 60s, I guess, and it's amazing, like, how many classic, amazing, like, still enduring shows were on at that time, like, you know, Mission Impossible, Gilligan's Island, like, just these legendary shows. And I was thinking, like, Jesus, people thought, like, the golden age of television was, like, 2004 or something because of The Sopranos. It's like, no, 1969, that was the golden age of television. So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. What was I saying? Maybe 2006, I don't know. So anyway, yeah, so John Carpenter's Vampires. Actually, I thought the coolest part was when that woman, I guess it's a woman, female vampire, she, or female goon, they call them goons. I used to work at a movie theater, and I would call the customers clowns. So it kind of reminded me of that. So this, I guess it's a female vampire. She's, like, holding on to this thing so she doesn't get dragged out of the house and into the sun, and so she doesn't get engulfed in flames. And then James Woods takes his pistol and actually shoots off her hand, like, shoots her wrist, and her hand just, like, blows off. It's a really cool effect. That was actually my favorite part, watching it early this morning. I ended up shutting it off because I did fall back asleep, which was great. Got plenty of sleep. And then, Eaten Alive was before that. So, one of my issues with John Carpenter's Vampires is James Woods. James Woods has gone, shall we say, to the right with his politics in recent years. He was a Trump supporter, probably still is. And I just can't get with it. The guy's an asshole in real life. I've never met him, I don't know that for sure, but from what I've gathered, James Woods is an asshole. So, I don't like James Woods, I don't like seeing him, I don't like him as an actor, but I can't help but think that some of his performances are decent, maybe pretty good, and he has done some good movies. Chief among them would be, of course, Videodrome, 1983, David Cronenberg. James Woods stars as Max Wren. The whole thing is iconic to me, so that one kind of has its own kind of special place in my heart. And then there's Vampires, which I believe was 1998. And then actually the following year, 1999, he played the dad in The Virgin Suicides, which is one of his better performances. He's good in that. It's like a real performance. It's like a real drama. You know, he's like a real actor in that. The performance he gives in Vampires is a little different. It's a little, I don't know, shall we say broader, maybe more cartoonish. I don't know. He's kind of like the tough leader of this gang of vampire hunters, which is kind of as badass as it sounds. I would recommend this movie, even though I have issues with it. So that's Vampires by John Carpenter. Now, Eaten Alive by Tobe Hooper is a very different story. So buckle up, kids. When I was a young film geek living in Guilford, Connecticut, in the days before the internet had really exploded. Well, that's not true. The internet had exploded at that time. I don't know how old I was at this point. I would say 16 at the oldest. I would say probably high school age. Anyway, they used to sell these very thin DVDs. I'm sure I've talked about this. Not the DVD itself, that was regular size, but the case was very thin, and they would often be double-sided, and it would be a double feature, so one movie on each side. And they would often be kind of grindhouse B exploitation-y kind of movies. So like, I have some Sonny Chiba movies that way. I remember I had one called Attack of the Giant Leeches or something like that. So those kinds of movies, my type of shit. So basically, the only time I ever watched, or not the only time, but one of the only times I ever watched both sides of the DVD as a double feature was a movie called Crucible of Horror, which ended up being a kind of boring, stuffy, kind of like British drama that was like also kind of a horror movie. And then I remember, I think it had like a pretty good ending. And then that led into Eaten Alive. So I watched that and then I put on Eaten Alive. Not expect, well, I mean, I shouldn't say not expecting much. I was expecting something because it was Tobe Hooper. I don't even know if I'd seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre at this point. I think I had. But I might have seen Eaten Alive before Texas Chainsaw. I'm really not sure. Which sounds insane, but I'm of that generation where everything kind of got muddled, the video store generation. So I put on Eaten Alive. And I'm expecting something, but I'm not expecting operatic, beautiful horror. I'm not expecting genius, which is what I got. Eaten Alive is an amazing movie. Even like much more amazing than I remembered. I remember, I liked it. I maybe even loved it. And I still remember the opening with Robert Englund when he says, "My name is Buck, and I came here to fuck," or something like that. It's where I assume it's where Tarantino got the line in Kill Bill that Michael Bowen says as the creepy gross doctor. So right off the bat, I'm like, oh, I am in. And then last night I was looking at it visually. I was looking at the aesthetics. It's a beautiful movie. It's amazing the way it's shot. Tobe Hooper is a genius. Like he's an amazing director. That red kind of curtain hanging behind her that in the first scene is great. The whole opening is amazing with that woman getting killed at the hotel. It's almost like Psycho in miniature. She like escapes from this guy and she goes to this hotel and ends up meeting an even a far worse fate there. The hotel is the Starlight, owned by Neville Brand, this crazy bastard, and you see him kill her in the opening scene, so it's no mystery that this guy's a psycho. And then he feeds her to a fucking crocodile or an alligator. I guess you don't see it at first, but then there's this whole other sequence after that with William Finley from Phantom of the Paradise, who I completely forgot was even in the movie. I'm sure I didn't even know who he was when I first saw the movie. So he plays the dad. He's got a little daughter. He's with his wife, and then they have a little dog. And long story short, the dog ends up getting eaten by the alligator. The girl kind of like goes into shock, and then, she's totally despondent. And then the mom is just kind of like freaked out, and the dad's freaking out, and it's this whole kind of crazy, almost like melodramatic sequence. But the way the whole movie is lit, the way it's shot is amazing. I don't know where they shot this movie. I don't know if they built this hotel on a set with like this kind of like, it's basically like a hotel like in a swamp. And I love how at the beginning this woman who gets killed at the beginning is a prostitute. I guess she's living at this brothel called Miss Minnie's something, House of Girls or something. I don't know what it is, but a woman who works there. I don't know if she's a maid. She happens to be black. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but she lets her know, I guess this woman has no idea about this sick, crazy bastard. This woman lets her know about, lets our hero, we'll call her Marilyn, I forget what her name is, but she lets Marilyn know about this hotel, and she says, oh yeah, it's right down the it's just down the road. So they're at this building, I guess in town or in like a little city. I don't know where this is supposed to be taking place. And then it cuts and she's like in this fucking swamp, like basically like wading through like the trees, and then she comes upon, the Starlight Hotel, and that's where the action happens. So that's Eaten Alive. I ended up Oh yeah, I said I ended up turning it off. I think I got about 40 minutes in though. This movie is just, to me, it's amazing. It's very watchable. It might be like one of my new favorite like horror movies of that era. It's just like a really fucking cool movie. Not only is it a movie about a deranged killer, it's also about his fucking crocodile that eats people and eats the corpses of people that he's killed. And oh, I think it's actually based on like a real dude who like actually did this, like actually ran a hotel, and he would like kill customers and feed them to his crocodile. God damn it. This movie was made for me. So it's no Texas Chainsaw Massacre, first of all. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre by Tobe Hooper, 1974, is a work of art. It's a masterpiece. It's one of the greatest films ever made. If you ask me on the right day, I would tell you it's top 10 for me. Top 10 Max movies, just boom. Right up there with The Road Warrior. I wouldn't put it top 5 like The Road Warrior, but I would put it bottom 5 with Taxi Driver. It's, yeah. No, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is right up there with Taxi Driver as a work of cinematic high art. So this isn't that. This isn't on that level. This is much more of a kind of exploitation movie, but there is an artfulness to it, and I think it's amazingly directed. This was 1976, I believe. So it would have been 2 years after Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know the story. I don't know the history. I'd love to watch like a Tobe Hooper documentary or something and just get the whole story on this guy. I don't think he ever made a movie at the level of Texas Chainsaw Massacre after that. So yeah, I believe this was his next movie. It was a step down. It was kind of more in the exploitation realm. Kind of exists more in that realm. I think he was, even with this movie, I think he was attempting to move more into perhaps popular entertainment, which he ended up doing very successfully with Poltergeist, which is a movie I'm not particularly a fan of. Maybe I'll do an episode about the Poltergeist series and talk about why it's one franchise, one series that I just don't really connect with and just have never really liked. Speaking of series that I don't connect with and have never really liked, A Nightmare on Elm Street. No, I do like the first one. Oh no, I actually like parts of the second one. I kind of like the end, like parts of the end of the second one, and then the third one I actually do like with Patricia Arquette. So, but anyway, Robert Englund is like a really good actor, and he's like really good in this, and he's really good as Freddy Krueger, even though Freddy Krueger got really goofy by the end, or got really goofy for a while and then kind of came back with New Nightmare. But anyway, I think Robert Englund actually had like a lot more range than people gave him credit for, and he definitely got typecast as Freddy Krueger. But then he kind of, I guess, broke out of that a little bit with wasn't he in that movie Behind the Mask? Is that what it was called? The Rise of Leslie Vernon. Which is him playing another serial killer, but he, I don't know, it's a very different kind of movie and a very different character for him. I think that was him. I don't know. So yeah, Robert Englund is in this movie playing Buck. I don't know if I mentioned that. So he kind of kicks off the whole story because he basically, apologize if this offends anyone. I just checked. I think I have more female listeners than I thought I did, so I do apologize if this is offensive. But he, essentially, he attempts to anally rape Marilyn at the beginning. So he's like, you know, I paid for an hour. We hear in the dialogue, okay, clearly this is a customer who has paid for an hour with the prostitute, our girl, Marilyn. And then, I don't know, it starts becoming evident that he wants to, excuse the phrase, he wants to fuck her up the ass. And she's like, no, like, I'm not doing that. And then he kind of tries to rape her, and then she gets away, she's screaming, and then Mama, the creepy kind of like, oh, I bet she's gonna come in later. Mama Mills, I forget what her fucking name is, but she comes in, says, what's going on in here? And then the girl says, and then she says, oh, you know what, you can have two other girls. And then he says, whoa, two for the price of one. And then he leaves, and then she gets mad at Marilyn, and then Marilyn leaves. I don't know if she kicks her out or if Marilyn just decides to leave on her own. I forget, but that's me just recounting the opening for you. You're welcome. I hope that was entertaining. So that's pretty much it for Eaten Alive. Watch it if you've never seen it. It's on Arrow. I mean, not on Arrow, excuse me. It's on Shudder. Yeah. So that's Eaten Alive. I think that pretty much sums up my evening last night and what's going on with me right now. I'll be back on tomorrow, of course, to talk to you more. Oh, this episode did end up being a full-length one, which is great. But tomorrow's episode might be a different story. Again, it looks like tomorrow will be the day when I go into Boston, so it will be a shorter episode. There may be no episode at all. I'll send out a tweet if that's the case. But until then, stay safe, stay hungry, and I'll talk to you soon. This is Video Nasties. Peace. Wait, you know, I don't want to sign off yet. I don't know. I just feel like there's more I want to say about Eaten Alive and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Tobe Hooper, and I don't know. He had an interesting career. He did that movie, The Fun House, I think it's called, which is like a weird carnival movie. But it's kind of a cool movie. It's kind of good. And then Dolls, I think he did, which was kind of cool, kind of scary. And then I almost said Castle Freak, but that was Stuart Gordon, which is a cool fucked up movie, Castle Freak, if you've never seen it. Kind of cool. I don't know. I don't know if I'd call that movie cool. It's like really weird and fucked up. But it's more sweaty, I would say. So it's actually not cool at all. So that's Castle Freak, and then which was not Tobe Hooper. Oh, and then he directed the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2 with Bill Moseley as Chop Top. And yeah, the best part of the movie is the scene where Bill Moseley is burning his scalp or whatever. That's the only part of the movie I remember, besides what is actually my favorite part of the movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which is the scene where they're in a car and I guess it's Leatherface, I'm not sure, ends up slicing the head off of the passenger in the car or something, and blood squirts out and it looks very cartoonish, but it's like a really cool effect. Like it almost has like a comic book or a graphic novel kind of quality to it, the way it looks. For some reason, when I saw that effect, I was smitten. I was like, that is dope. And then that comes near the beginning of the movie, and I had really high hopes for the rest of the movie, and then I was disappointed. And they're like, I don't know, they're like going over a bridge or something. I don't know. If you're a fan of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, you probably know the scene I'm talking about. I think it's like the first kill in the movie. So, anyway, I guess that's gonna do it for me. Sorry, my car's a little dusty. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else there is to watch. I guess this is the point in the day, now that I've finished talking about what I have watched, this is the point in the day when I try to figure out what I will watch tonight, which I don't know. I don't know what it'll be. Maybe I'll get back into the Italian stuff from the 70s, Polizio Tesci. Maybe I'll get back into that Vinegar Syndrome stuff. Oh, you know what? So that stuff was straight to video, which I did mention. That's what I was gonna say. So I was thinking about it, and this is fascinating to me. In some sense, maybe, or maybe in some ways, this is like the most fascinating thing about filmmaking to me. Maybe, if I'm being honest, that's true. I don't know if that's true, but it's just like kind of based on where I'm coming from, which is independent, low budget filmmaking. You know, I'm a kid who grew up with a camcorder. So to me, it's always fascinating because the thing is, okay, I was always frustrated because everything I would make would look like shit. Like, it would never, not only would it not look like a movie, like, it just wouldn't even look good. It would just look bad. It would look like some kids shot it, or a kid shot it, which is true. It was me shooting it. And I did get better over the years, for sure. I did improve. But it's like, what does that mean? What is that improvement? What makes it better? What makes it look better? What makes it more engaging for an audience? And so one of the, okay, that's, you know, some of that was bullshit. Okay, let me just be clear here. And let me just be totally honest and upfront and straight up with you. One of the most interesting things to me about movies is something which has kind of been lost with streaming, because now everything just kind of ends up on streaming. It's this like this dump, or it's almost like a sewage pipe. Like streaming itself is like a sewage pipe leading to your TV, which is like the dump. So that's kind of a gross way to look at it. But back in the day, back in the good old days of video stores, they had this thing called straight to video. So I don't know if I should say one of my favorite things, but just one of the most fascinating things to me, just period, is the difference between straight to video and theatrical. Like, what makes that difference? What makes something better or higher quality? What makes it look better? Tarantino has talked about this. I mean, this is just, like, fascinating to me. I'm kind of obsessed with this. What is that difference? So I look at something like, for instance, Mutant War, or even more so the Battle for the Lost Planet, which I had high hopes for and ended up being kind of crappy, but then also kind of cool at moments. I just look at that movie, which, as it turns out, was straight to video. It's an 80s movie that did go straight to video. Vinegar Syndrome, you know, representing, gives respect to these movies and presents them in a respectful way, which I think is great, even if the movie sucks. I mean, it's better to point out movies that actually, you know, maybe didn't get the respect that they deserved, which in the case of the Battle for the Lost Planet actually is true to some extent. Like, some of it, like I said, is genuinely cool and, like, even, like, borderline well-made. But a lot of it, probably most of it, is kind of crappy. So, okay, my point is, direct-to-video, what is the difference between that and theatrical? So I'm looking at something like The Battle for the Lost Planet, which was straight-to-video, or direct-to-video, I think was another term for it. And then I look at something like Eaten Alive, which was theatrical, as far as I know. And there is a distinct difference. Now, a big part of that is Tobe Hooper, who, like I said, was a genius, rest in peace, is a brilliant filmmaker, and he lives on. Hooper lives. And he was able to create images, him and his team were able to create images that are, I think, beautiful and indelible, but also horrifying. And also, oh my God, the music. The sound design, which he did with other people. He worked on that. He has co-credit on the music, and it's amazing. And that's a big part of it, too, is the sound. That's half of it, really. So you watch that movie, and you see that he creates something artful. Now, in the case of The Battle for the Lost Planet, you know, the mutants look kind of crappy, the way they're kind of running around. It all just, not all, but a lot of it seems amateur. I was kind of reminded of Bad Taste by Peter Jackson, except that's, like, the elevated version of it. So even that, it's like, why is that elevated? Why is Bad Taste better than The Battle for the Lost Planet? Well, it just looks better. It's just the way it's shot is just more professional. It's more serious. It's more polished. It's more refined. I guess there are all different ways to say it, but it's just like, if you know movies, if you know what to look for, then you know it when you see it. And if you want an interesting and instructive double feature, watch The Battle for the Lost Planet and then watch Eaten Alive and just compare the filmmaking, the level of filmmaking, and ask yourself the question, what makes Eaten Alive a more elevated film? What makes Eaten Alive a more elevated movie than The Battle for the Lost Planet? What elevates it, and what makes it higher quality? I think when you look at that aspect of the comparison, it can be instructive. So that's what I was thinking about early this morning while I was watching Eaten Alive. So I recommend that. I recommend looking at that. I also recommend Eaten Alive, again, available on Shudder. And I sort of recommend, I mean, I guess I do recommend, but to a, I would say, a much lesser extent, The Battle for the Lost Planet on Arrow. Peace.